I said, Kathy. For whatever reason, the Prime Minister saw fit to invite one into the Cabinet, and, well, here one is.
Isn't it a terrific responsibility?
Well, I suppose if one chooses to dedicate one's life to public service, the service of others, responsibility is just something one has to accept.
But all this power...
I know. Frightening sometimes. But it also makes one very humble, Kathy. There one sits, at the Cabinet table, number 10 Downing Street, and one realises...
Bernard Rang, oh, humble one. Central House wants you to watch some programme on television, BBC Two.
Oh, stop with Maureen Watkins, MP. One of the backbench MPs. Not my favourite lady. She's a rampaging feminist. I don't think I'll bother. Oh, don't write that down.
I like Maureen Watkins. Don't you think that women are still the exploited sex? All of us in 5B think that women are exploited at work, exploited at home, and still it's a world designed by men and run by men for the convenience of men. You know, like she says.
Not any longer, surely. Anyway, she doesn't carry any weight in the house, thank goodness.
Well, not in the house, perhaps. It's full of men.
Thank you, Annie. Anything else you'd like to ask me, Cathy?
Just one last question. As Cabinet Minister, with all this power, what have you personally achieved?
Achieved? Oh, well, all sorts of things. Membership of the Privy Council, membership of the Party Policy Committee.
No, I mean things you've actually done that makes life better for other people.
Makes life better? For other people? Well, must be a number of things. After all, that's what one's job is all about, isn't it? 18 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Could you give me one or two examples, though? It makes it a bit boring otherwise.
Examples? Difficult to know where to start. So much of government is collective decisions. All of us together, best minds in the country, hammering it out.
Yes, but what is it you'll look back on afterwards and say, I did that? You know, like a writer can look at his books.
Government is a complex business, Kathy. So many people have to have their say. These things take time. Rome wasn't built in a day. Of course... Good heavens, is that the time? My boxes, you'll have to excuse me, Kathy.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's been such fun having this little talk. And you'll let me approve the article before you print it, won't you, as we agreed? Fine.
Bye.
Bye. Oh.
Oh. Bright kid.
That's the last interview I give for a school magazine. She asked some very difficult questions.
Just innocent. She was assuming there was some moral basis to your activities.
Well, there is.
Oh, Jim, don't be silly. What are you sighing for?
I'm not sighing.
Out with it.
Well, what have I achieved? She's right, isn't she?
It really does make you humble.
I mean, I can't get any bills through Parliament. The time's been taken up for the next 2 years.
All right, reform the civil service.
Impossible. Catch 22.
Why?
Well, supposing I were to suggest 50 terrific reforms, who'd have to implement them? The civil service.
All right, I'll tell you what. Not 50 reforms, just one.
What?
If you achieve one important reform of the civil service, that would be something.
Get me into the Guinness Book of Records. What do you suggest?
Make them put more women into top civil servants' jobs. Women are half the population. Why shouldn't they be half the permanent secretaries? How many women are there at the top?
Not many. Equal opportunities. I'll have a go. After all, there's a principle at stake.
You mean you're actually going to do something out of pure principle?
Yes.
Oh, Jim.
Principles are excellent vote winners. So we don't have to do anything about this at all?
No, as I say, the facts in paragraphs 1 and 2 are wrong. The other points are covered by the statutory requirements. We have no alternative.
I don't have to make a decision. Don't even have to apologize. Can you do a reply for me?
I've done it, actually.
Well, that's fantastic. Why don't they make more undersecretaries like you?
Anything else, Minister?
No. Oh, no. Tell me, Sarah. How many women are there at the top of the civil service?
None of the permanent secretaries. 4 out of 150 deputy secretaries.
And what about your grade, undersecretary?
Oh, there are 27 of us.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad. Out of how many?
578.
Appalling. Aren't you appalled?
Oh, not really. I find it comic. But then I find most of the civil service comics. It's run by men, after all.
What can you do about it? What can I do about it?
Are you serious, Minister?
Yes.
Oh, it's easy. Bring top women from the professions, commerce and industry straight into the top grades. The pay is quite good for women. As long holidays, index-linked pensions, you get a lot of very high-quality applicants.
And they could do the job.
Of course. With all due respect, if you can make a journalist MP into an instant minister, why can't you make a senior partner from a top legal firm into an undersecretary? Most of the work here only needs about 2 O-levels anyway.
Good point. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister.
You rang, Minister?
Oh, Bernard, Sarah,
yes, Minister?
I wish you'd call me Jim, at least when we're alone.
Oh, I'll try to remember that, Minister.
Sarah tells me that this complaint is complete nonsense. She's done a reply.
Oh, fine, so we can CGSM it.
CGSM?
Civil Service Code, Minister. It stands for Consignment of Geriatric Shoe Manufacturers. A load of old cobblers.
I'm not a civil servant. I shall use my own code. I shall write round objects.
You wanted a word about staffing?
Yes, Humphrey.
Morning, Bernard.
Thank you.
I have made a policy decision. I'm going to do something about the number of women in the civil service.
Oh, surely there aren't all that many.
That's my point, Humphrey.
The minister thinks we need more, sir.
Many more.
More? Oh, well, we're actually quite well up to establishment on typists and cleaners and tea ladies. Any ideas, Bernard?
We are a bit short on temporary secretaries.
Oh. I'm talking about permanent secretaries. We need some female mandarins.
Sort of Satsumas.
Sit down, would you, Bernard? How many permanent secretaries are there at the moment?
41, I believe.
And how many of those are women?
Well, broadly speaking, not having the exact figures to hand, I'm not exactly sure.
Well, approximately?
Well, approximately none.
None. And I understand there are about 150 deputy secretaries. Do you know how many of those are women?
Well, it's difficult to say.
Why?
There's a lot of our women among the men.
Four.
Are there really?
I am going to announce a quota of 25% women deputy secretaries and permanent secretaries to be achieved within the next 4 years.
Now, wait a minute, Minister.
Why?
Well, I'm obviously in total sympathy with your objectives.
Obviously.
Of course we must have more women at the top. Of course. And all of us are deeply concerned by this apparent imbalance. But these things take time.
Yes, I want to make a start straight away.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I propose we make an immediate start by setting up an interdepartmental committee
That's not what I meant, and you know it. I don't want the usual delaying tactics. This needs a sledgehammer. We must cut through the red tape.
Oh, you can't cut tape with a sledgehammer, Minister.
Oh, now, Minister, you do me an injustice. I was not about to suggest delaying tactics.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's all right, Minister. I was about to suggest that if we are to have a 25% quota of women, we need a much larger intake at the recruitment stage so that eventually there will be 25% in the top jobs.
When?
In 25 years.
You haven't got quite my drift. I mean now.
Oh. You mean now?
Got it in 100.
Minister, it takes time to do things now.
Three articles of civil service faith. It takes longer to do things quickly, it's more expensive to do them cheaply, and it's more democratic to do them in secret. No. I have suggested 4 years, and I think that's masses of time.
Oh, dear me, no. I don't mean political time, I mean real time. Civil servants are grown like oak trees. Not mustard and cress. They bloom and ripen with the seasons. They mature like...
Like yourself?
Well, I was about to say like an old port.
Like Grimsby, perhaps.
Yes, I was being serious, Minister.
Yes, I foresaw this problem. And I propose we solve it by bringing in top women from outside the service to fill vacancies in the top jobs.
I don't think I quite understood.
Watch my mouth, Humphrey. We will bring in women from outside.
But the whole strength of the system is that it is incorruptible, pure and unsullied by outside influences.
People move from job to job throughout industry. Why should the civil service be different?
Well, the civil service is different. It demands subtlety.
Discretion.
Devotion to duty.
Soundness.
Soundness. Well said, Bernard. Civil servants require endless patience and boundless understanding. They need to be able and willing to change horses midstream, as the politicians change what they are pleased to call their minds.
And you have all these talents, Humphrey.
Well, it is just that one has been properly,
matured, like Grimsby.
Strange.
No, Humphrey, ask yourself seriously, if there isn't something wrong with the system, why are there so few women deputy secretaries?
Well, they keep leaving to have babies and things.
Babies at the age of nearly 50, surely not.
Well, I don't know, Minister, really, I don't. I'm on your side. We really do need more women at the top.
Good, because I'm not waiting 25 years. There's a vacancy for deputy secretary in this department, isn't there?
Yes.
I shall appoint a woman, Sarah Harrison.
Sarah Harrison?
I think she's very able, don't you?
Very able for a woman, for a person, a very able person.
And she has ideas. She is an original thinker.
Yes, I'm afraid that's true, but she doesn't let it interfere with her work.
But what have you got against her?
Nothing. I think she's quite excellent. I'm a great supporter of hers. I advocated her promotion last year to undersecretary at a very early age.
Would you agree that she is an outstanding undersecretary?
Yes.
So on balance, it is a good idea.
On balance, yes and no.
It's not a very clear answer, Humphrey.
It's a balanced answer. The point is that she's too young, and it's not her turn yet.
I knew you'd say that. This is exactly what is wrong with the civil service. Buggins' turn. The best people should be promoted, and as soon as possible.
Exactly. As soon as it's their turn.
Napoleon ruled Europe when he was in his 30s. Alexander the Great conquered the world in his 20s.
They would have made very poor deputy secretaries.
Well, at least they didn't wait their turn.
And look what happened to them.
And look what's happened to us. Instead of being run by a lot of young, able, energetic men, this country is being run by tired, cynical 55-year-olds who just want a quiet life.
Had you anyone specific in
Yes and no.
Minister, Sarah Harrison is an excellent civil servant and a bright hope for the future. But she is our most junior undersecretary, and I cannot and will not recommend her promotion to deputy secretary.
I think you're a sexist.
Oh! Minister, how could you say so? They're very pro-women. Wonderful people, women. And Sarah Harrison is a dear lady. I'm one of her greatest admirers. But if the cause of women is to be advanced, it must be done with care, tact, and discretion. She is our only woman contender for a top job. We mustn't push her too fast. Women find top jobs very difficult, you know.
Can you hear yourself?
Minister, if women were able to be good permanent secretaries, there would be more of them, wouldn't there? Stands to reason.
No, Humphrey.
I'm not anti-feminist. I love women. Some of my best friends are women. My wife, indeed. But Sarah Harrison is as yet very inexperienced. And her children are still of school age. They might get mumps.
You might get shingles come to that, Humphrey.
I might indeed, Minister, if you continue in this vein. What if her children caused her to miss work all the time?
Oh, is it likely? Would she have reached the rank of undersecretary if her children kept having mumps? No, she is the best person for the job.
Now, Minister, if you're going to promote women just because they're the best person for the job, you will create a lot of resentment throughout the whole of the century.
Not from the women in it, anyway.
Well, that hardly matters, does it?
It matters, Humphrey.
There are so few of them. I've tried to tell him that women are different, but he can't grasp it.
They put such strains on a team. They react differently. They're so emotional, not rational like us.
Yeah. It's hopeless when you tell them off. Either they get into a frightful bait or they start blubbing.
They're not the sort who blub. They become frightfully hard and butch and not the least bit attractive. And they're full of prejudices.
Make silly generalizations.
Think in stereotypes.
Arnold, what do you think I should do?
I can only suggest that you lecture him at such length on the matter that he becomes bored and loses interest in the whole idea.
Yeah, that's might work. Mind you, he doesn't get bored easily.
I mean, he even finds himself interesting.
They all do. All the ones who listen to what they're saying, that is.
Not many of those.
Well, the standard second ploy is to tell him the unions won't wear it.
Well, they'd like it.
That's beside the point, Humphrey.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And then, what does his wife think about all this?
Well, I gather that she's in favor of promoting this Harrison female. In fact, she may be behind it.
I see. Does she know that Sarah Harrison is rather attractive?
No, I don't think they've ever met.
Good idea. Anyway, we must mobilize the cabinet against this quota nonsense.
Well, the cabinet will be in favor of it.
I think we can get them to change their minds. They change their minds fairly easily.
Just like a lot of women. Thank God they don't blub.
Minister, I have come to the conclusion that you were right.
Are you being serious, Humphrey?
Yes, indeed, Minister. I am fully seized of your ideas, and I have taken them on board. And I'm now positively against discrimination against women and positively in favor of positive discrimination in their favor. Discriminating discrimination, of course.
I think I've got that.
Now, I understand that a view is being formed at the very highest level that this should happen.
Good.
However, there is a problem about the quota. Do you mind if I sit down? The unions won't wear it.
No. Well, let's have them in and we'll talk about it.
No, Minister, that would... that would just stir up a hornet's nest, wouldn't it?
Why?
Well, if I might suggest that we be realistic about this.
By realistic, you mean drop the whole scheme?
Oh, dear me, no. But perhaps a pause to regroup. A lull in which to reassess the situation and discuss alternative strategies. A space of time for mature reflection and deliberation.
Yes, you mean drop the whole scheme.
No, Humphrey.
I have set my hand to the plow. I have made a decision. We shall have a 25% quota of women in the open structure within the next 4 years. And to make a start, I shall appoint Sarah Harrison as secretary.
No, Minister, I promise you that is the wrong decision.
Principal, Humphrey. Principal. I'll have a word with my cabinet colleagues. I'm sure they'll support me. A lot of votes in women's rights.
Votes, Minister? I thought you said it was a matter of principle.
For me, Humphrey, for me. I was talking about then.
Yes. Mrs. Hacker's here, Minister.
Ah, send her in, will you?
Could she come in? Could you sign the letters before you go, Minister?
Oh, hello, darling.
Get Humphrey to give you a drink.
A sherry, dear lady.
Thank you.
You remember that letter you wrote, Round Objects, on?
Oh, yes.
It's come back from Sir Humphrey's office. He's commented on it.
What did he say?
Who is round and to what does he object?
Yes, of course, it's a slow business changing the civil service, you know.
What about promoting this woman Jim was talking about?
Oh, yes, well, your husband certainly has an eye for talent, and our Sarah is very talented and quite delightful, real charmer, she is.
Really?
You know, I very much admire this new generation of women civil servants compared to the old battle axes, I remember. Of course, they're not all as beautiful as Sarah, but... do manage to keep their femininity.
Jim never discussed what she looks like.
Oh, well, perhaps he hasn't noticed. I must say, I find that rather hard to believe. After all, he does spend a lot of time with her. And even more, if she's promoted. Shall we sit down? And so, gentlemen, my minister is set on creating a quota of 25% women in the open structure, leading to an eventual 50%.
Parity, I see.
Yes.
Well, I must say that it seems right and proper to me that men and women be treated fairly and equally. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that we all feel that in principle there should be such targets set and goals achieved.
Bill...
Well, Mr. Jones, I'm fully in favor of this idea. We must have some positive discrimination in favor of women. Of course, it wouldn't work with the Foreign Commonwealth Office for obvious reasons. I mean, we couldn't post women ambassadors to Iran or any of the Muslim nations. Most of the Third World are not so advanced as we are in connection with women's rights, and as we have to send diplomats to new postings every 3 years, this idea is obviously not for us, but I do applaud the principle.
Yes, Mitra, I'm all in favor of it. I think we need the feminine touch. Women are better at handling some problems than men, no doubt about it. Of course, we would have to make an exception as far as the Home Office is concerned. Women are not the right people to run prisons or the police. And quite probably they wouldn't want to do it anywhere.
Yeah. But you do agree with the principle?
Oh, yes, no question.
Peter?
Well, yes, the same applies to defence. Alas, all those admirals and generals. It wouldn't be possible, of course, to appoint a woman as head of security, for instance.
M would have to become F.
Yes, defence is clearly a man's world, like industry and employment. All those trade union leaders. But what about the DHSS, John?
Well, I'm happy to say that women are well represented near the top of the DHSS. After all, we have two of the four deputy secretaries currently in Whitehall. Not eligible for permanent secretary, of course, because they're deputy chief medical officers, and I'm not sure they're really suitable for... No, that's unfair. Of course, women are 80% of our clerical staff and 99% of the typing grade, so we're not doing too badly by them, are we? And in principle, I'm in favour of them going to the very top.
Good, good. Well, I think the feeling of the meeting is, in principle, that we're all thoroughly in favour of equal rights for the ladies. Yeah. It's just that there are certain special problems in individual departments.
Yeah. Now, what about this question of the quota? Frankly, I must tell you that I'm against it.
Yes, not politicians, I know.
We must, in my view, always have the right to promote the best man for the job, regardless of sex.
No.
But speaking as an ardent feminist myself, I think that the problem lies in recruiting the right sort of women. Married women with families tend to drop out because, in all honesty, they cannot give their work their full single-minded attention.
And unmarried women with no children are not fully rounded people with a thorough understanding of life.
So that in practice it's rarely possible to find a fully rounded married woman with a happy home and three children who's prepared to devote her whole life, or virtually her whole life, to a department. It's catch 22, really. Well, catch 22, subparagraph A.
Yes, I think we must ensure that our respective ministers oppose this quota idea in cabinet by drawing our own ministers' attention to each department's own special problems. Mm. But we will, of course, recommend the principle of equal opportunities at every level.
Principle. Yes. And may I say just one more thing? Through the chair, I'd like to add that my minister also sees the promotion of women as a means of creating greater diversity at the top of the service. I think we should stress when briefing our ministers that, quite frankly, you couldn't find a more diverse lot than us.
Absolutely. A real cross-section of the nation.
Yeah. Our minister. How was cabinet?
Odd, actually.
Why?
We were talking about the top jobs quota for women in the civil service.
Was it agreed?
Well, that's what's so odd. They all agreed in principle. Then they all said that it wouldn't work in their own particular department. They didn't support me at all, really.
Extraordinary.
There's another thing. I'm not getting the support from Annie that I did.
Really? What about this quota?
What about promoting Sarah? You'd think she'd be 100% behind it.
Well, indeed you would.
She goes all sort of distant when I mention it. Dead against it now.
Even more extraordinary.
Oh, well, it seems the only thing left. Something I can achieve.
Yes, indeed, Minister. Shall I ask Mrs. Harrison to come in?
Right.
Bernard, would you be kind enough? Thank you.
At least it is something I can say I have done, eh, Humphrey?
Yes, indeed, Minister.
Lighting a spark?
Carrying a torch, even.
Ah, Sarah. Dear, sit down.
Thank you.
Humphrey?
Thank you, Minister.
Sarah, as you know, there is a vacancy for a deputy secretary in this department. And in spite of the fact that you are the most junior of our undersecretaries, but because you are the outstanding person in your grade, Sir Humphrey and I have decided to recommend you for promotion to the grade of deputy secretary.
Oh, I don't know what to say.
No need to say anything.
A single thank you should suffice.
No, well, I mean, oh, gosh, look, this is awfully embarrassing. I mean, well, I was going to tell you this week. The fact is, I'm resigning from the civil service.
Resigning?
Yes, so thank you, but no thank you.
Some problem at home, is it, with your children?
Mumps.
No, I'm joining a merchant bank as a director.
Sarah, I won't conceal from you the fact that this is a blow. You see, the reason why Humphrey and I have decided to recommend you for this promotion is that I've been fighting a losing battle to improve the promotion prospects for women at the top of the civil service, and you were to be my, well, so to speak, Trojan horse.
Well, quite honestly, Minister, I want a job where I don't spend endless hours circulating information that isn't relevant about subjects that don't matter to people who aren't interested. I want a job where there's achievement rather than merely activity. I'm tired of pushing paper. I want to be able to point to something and say, I did that.
I don't understand.
I know. That's why I'm leaving.
Surely you're not saying that the government of Britain is unimportant.
No, it's very important. It's just that I haven't met anyone who's doing it. Also, I've had enough of the pointless intrigue.
Intrigue?
Oh, you know the sort of thing. Like this women's rights nonsense. You're using me as a Trojan horse, for instance. They probably told you the unions wouldn't wear it if you promoted me.
How did you know that?
I didn't know. I just know how things are done here.
Sarah, you probably don't realize this, but I've fought quite a battle for you.
Oh, have you? I didn't ask you to fight a battle for me. I'm not pleased at being part of a 25% quota. Women are not inferior beings, and I don't enjoy being patronized. I'm afraid you're just as paternalist and chauvinist as the rest of them. I'm going somewhere where I shall be accepted on my own merits, as an equal, as a person.
You can't win, can you?
May I go now?
Yes, of course. But I'm sorry I offended you. Well, I can't remember how I did, if I did.
No. And thank you. I know you both mean well.
Women.
Yes, Minister.